Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon, Jacksonville. You are listening to the Legal Counsel, available to you on the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you in part by Farrah and Farrah here on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Our lines are open at 855-765-1045. You can speak with our experts, Eddie Farrah, Chuck Farrah, in from the law firm of Farrah and Farrah. My name is Scott Young, ready to take your calls. The number again, 855-765-1045. What's going on, guys?
Ready to take some calls.
We have a few topics to cover today, but we don't have as many topics as usual. So the phone lines, we welcome calls on any legal topic, and we'll see if we can get you an answer and maybe help you out. But I do want to start off talking about vicarious liability. This is a topic we've talked about a lot, on a regular basis here at the show, about when you're responsible for other people's actions. For instance, when you loan your car out, the car that's in your name and you loan it out and somebody causes an accident and you're vicariously liable for that accident, even though you weren't driving the vehicle. And it's based on the principle that a car is considered a dangerous instrumentality and you cannot contract away your responsibility by letting someone else drive the car. I mean, there are other situations where that is liable. For instance, A lot of people, let's say you're at a big box store and a security guard does something or doesn't do what he's supposed to do and you're injured. The big box store cannot argue that the security guard was not our employee, that it was a separate company we hired and he's an independent contractor and we're not responsible for what he did. No, under the law, that providing security to the patrons at the building, at the business, is a non-delegable duty, which means you cannot delegate it out. So there are certain things you cannot contract away, okay?
Yeah, those are good laws.
Those are good laws.
It's holding everybody responsible up the line, you know, and you can't just negligently hire a security guard that may not know what he's doing or...
Well, even if he doesn't know, even if he knows what he's doing, he makes a mistake.
Right.
You're responsible.
But that responsibility makes the store owner really pay attention to who yep. they're bringing in to,
that's correct.
To be, you know, so same thing with a car owner, you know, they're trying to put responsibility on an owner so that you can at least think about who you're loaning the car to and making sure that person
right.
is able to drive.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I'll give you another kind of a different set of facts where this applies. It was a recent case dealing with the sale of a car. A father sells the car to his son. Sells it for $2,500. There's a bill of sale. He delivers possession of the car to his son, endorses the title. The father cancels the insurance. The one thing the father did not do, he did not notify the DMV of the sale. And he did not transfer the title as he was required to under Florida Statute 319. And the son had not delivered the title to the DMV to complete the transfer. So they did everything except taking it to the DMV and getting it signed over.
Mm.
Kid causes an accident.
Did everything but make it legal.
But under the case law, there's a principle called beneficial ownership. And even though they didn't transfer the title and even though they didn't go to DMV, everything about the ownership of the vehicle was transferred to the kid. And the father was not held responsible for that accident. So that's a very important case that just came out. It gives you some relief.
So it did shift the liability to the kid.
To the son, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was called beneficial ownership. Mm-hmm. They had done everything except actually sign the title over.
Yeah, they're not going to allow the
technicality.
That's a good result.
Well, it looks like we've got our first caller of the day. We've got Mitch over in Avondale who's checking in with us. Mitch, you're on the Consumer Law Hour. How are you today?
Hello, man.
Hey,
better
Mitch.
Than I deserve. Thanks, guys, for all you do, and thanks for the show, of course. I called you last week about the people getting paid to go search for the girl, but you just brought up a good topic about liability with cars. Okay, if I get arrested this morning for having some cocaine in my car, and they impound my car.
Hypothetically.
Right. Not yet, anyway. So, you know, the police use those cars because they're, you know, they're not obviously a city. It's easy to spot a undercover marked or unmarked car, rather. So let's say they use my impounded car and someone gets hurt because they get their foot ran over or whatnot. And so my car is impounded and it's hurt someone. So is the city liable? And what if my insurance is still covering my car because it's only been impounded a couple of days or weeks? And I'll listen to the answer. Thank you, Mitch.
I want you to bring up, is that Mitch?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mitch, before I get into that, do you want to clarify? Remember we talked about the police officers going to Alabama?
And the firemen, yes, sir.
And the firemen. And you called, you and I spoke on Monday about that.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to kind of tell our listeners what your take on it was and... My take was,
the girl's missing. It's a bad deal, and it's nothing bad. That's why I didn't even know if anybody would take on the question. But, okay, so we're going to send people to her hometown, which is a needle in a haystack, because we have no idea. The mother's not even cooperating. Well, luckily, you know, the body was found or and all, and but the FBI is involved, but we're sending, I think, 67 firemen and 110 policemen to Alabama, 14 hours away. So per diems are kicking in, motels are kicking in, fuel costs are kicking in, hourly salaries. And I was just wondering, you know, where's that money coming from the budget? What budget is that? And if I came from the Grand Canyon and said, my daughter's lost, you know, please, city, help me. You help this other family.
Well, let me tell you, after you posed that question, we received a call. I talked to a guy on Monday. He called the radio show, but we ran out of time. He's a retired firefighter, and he says they do that. They do send people out, not on a wild goose chase, but when they know they're close to solving it. He said that's why what it was in this situation, that they had credible evidence that they knew where to go, they knew what to do, and that's why they were dispatched. And he goes, and the way it works is even if 50 or 60 people leave town, they've got everything else covered in the event something happens here. That was his take on it.
Okay.
I wish maybe he'll get back on the air. He was on his tractor when I called him Monday in Callahan, but that's what he told me.
And what do you, I'll take this off there, but what do you think about the policeman then? If someone gets injured by your car, could they sue your insurance?
I don't think so, because the car is not under your control at that point.
Plus, it's a non-permissive. Yeah, I mean, you didn't give him permission to drive.
Yeah,
it
it's not like you gave it to somebody. Hey, here's your son. You give him a car. He caused an accident. They took it. It was taken from you, and it was impounded. And that was like a bailment type situation. You would not have any responsibility for that.
Good answer. Thanks, man. That's why you're a lawyer.
All right, thanks, Mitch.
Thanks for the call, Mitch. I appreciate hearing from you again.
I had a question last week, and I had a long discussion with this retired fireman, and you kind of laid out why they send people out of town to go do something. But
I see we've got Kurt and Fernandina who's got a question for us also. We're going to take Kurt's call now. Kurt, you're on the Consumer Law Hour with Chuck and Eddie Farah.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Hey, Kurt.
I have a question. I was driving a company car and I rear-ended somebody. And yesterday in the mail, I got a letter saying that she hired a lawyer and she's wants my cell phone and text records and all that, which I was not on my phone. So I'm like, do I hire a lawyer or do I wait?
Here's what you need to do. First of all, if you were injured in the accident, you would have a worker's comp claim, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, I wasn't injured.
Okay, so
neither one of us were injured.
she's claiming she was injured, but okay. So anyway,
she told the officer she was not.
Yeah.
And that's stated on the ticket.
Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that, but as to the cell phone records and the phone records, them writing that letter cannot make you produce that information. They have to have a subpoena to do it. And to get a subpoena, they have to file a lawsuit. So as long as they don't file a lawsuit, there's nothing they can do to make you produce that. So there's no need for you to do it at this point.
He should preserve it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's preserved. Yeah, I mean,
you've got to preserve it. You can't delete it because now you're on notice. Right. There could be a lawsuit.
Yeah,
and then
there's spoliation of evidence claim. Right. But if you told them you deleted it, but what they would have to do.
It wasn't on my phone anyway, so.
Yeah, so it didn't make a difference. So, but anyway, the insurance company of the people that insure the vehicle you're in will defend you. What you should do is notify your insurance company, even though you were not in the car, your car, you should notify them. Because I wonder that too.
So
because there, if you read your, I think your policy should say anytime you're in an accident, you got to notify your insurance company.
Right. Okay.
Because the reason they'll try to use that against you, if you don't report it and they find out, and you know, then they may try to cancel your policy or say, you know, you committed, you misrepresented your policy, and you know, you go, so you want to just notify your company, your insurance company, but you're the company that insures the vehicle at work. Will defend you. They'll hire a lawyer to defend you. Just turn that letter over to your employer.
All right. Yeah. Shall do.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate your help.
Yeah, good luck.
Kurt, we appreciate
your
call.
Thank you so much. Yeah. All right.
Guys, we're moving into our first break of the show. We'll be back with our second segment of the Consumer Law Hour right after these messages. 855-765-1045, the number to call. We'll take your calls when we come back on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We're back on the Consumer Law Hour. Lines are open for your calls at 855-765-1045. If you've got legal questions, our experts are here to help you. Eddie Farah, Chuck Farah from the law firm of Farah & Farah, waiting on your calls, 855-765-1045.
Scott, you know, we don't, our office is a personal injury firm, but, you know, we're interested in other areas of the law, and I was reading about easements, you know, a case on easements. And you've heard of easements. I mean, you have easements. Probably everybody's got an easement on their property. There's probably some cable lines coming across the property, or, you know, there's JEA line. There are JEA under plumbing. There's all kind of, there are all kind of easements. But there are things called, and those easements go with the deed. So when you transfer your property to someone else, you sell it, those easements are attached to the property, and they're part of it. And, but there are what they call implied easements, which I was never really aware of. It's just kind of interesting. And it has to do with people that have things going on there with their property, and then they sell, like, part of the property. Let me give you an example. Like, this owner, he owns the old entire piece of property. And on that property, there's a canal that gives you access to the river. Well, let's say the canal's on the front part of the property, and you got to cross, it crosses the back part of the property, and he sells the front part. Okay, well, now you no longer have access to the river from the canal because you've got to go through his property to get that. Well, under the law, there are things called implied easements, where even if it's not in the deed, if you split up that property and there was a use on that property, that was something that was being used, you can't stop that person from getting to the canal. And this case talked about, even though there's another way to get to the river, that you didn't have to get to the canal to get to the river, you could have taken another route to get to the river from your property. Nonetheless, because the previous use of the property allowed the canal to get to the river, then you've got to allow that new owner that you sold the property to have access over to your land. So what happens, what these implied easements mean that it's based on the use of the property, on the prior use of the property. So if you do have a big piece of property, or a piece of property you split up, you need to be aware of the fact that you may be given an easement to the person that you're selling the other part of the property to, based on your prior use of the property. So
I think there was an issue with some businesses over in Murray Hill recently that came to some arbitration over that there was an easement issue that required a business to be shut down for a couple of days until everybody came to terms with it.
That could be, I don't know all the facts, but maybe that was an implied easement. See, most easements, like we have an office building that we're in, and we don't have any parking, but we have a easement parking with the other buildings on that property. We don't own the land that we park on, but it's an easement, and we're allowed to park there. So, but that was in the deed. But I think what you're talking about, yes, is similar to what I'm saying, where it's implied that it's not in the deed, that somebody just uses a piece of property, or it's being used in a certain way. And so after a period of time, it becomes...
Yeah, in this case, it had to do with the waste disposal, and the property owner put up a fence to restrict access, and that wound up creating some business concerns.
Yeah, that could, maybe that was an easement of some sort. No, you're right. I don't know the facts.
But yeah, it had not been an issue until the fence went up and it became an issue. But fortunately, all parties were able to work together. Everybody's getting along just fine. Businesses are open. We're all happy. Yay. God bless America.
Yeah, that's good. That's what it's all about, working things out. You want to take Rick on line one?
We've got Rick in Eagle Bend. Hey, Rick, you're on the Consumer Law Hour with a question about unemployment insurance. What can we do for you?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, appreciate you guys being here. My daughter worked for 5 years with as an insurance coordinator. Her company started outsourcing a year and a half ago. She's a single mom, and she was basically scared to death she was going to lose her job. And she changed jobs. She went back and went to work for a former employer. This occurred in the mid part of October last year. New Year's Eve, she got, it's not funny, but sad funny, she got a phone call from her boss saying, hey, don't come in. We're shutting our doors. You're not going to get paid, but if you have anything that is your personal property here, come pick it up. My question is this. She's done some research, and I appreciate your services. Just double-checking this. Her research has shown that because even though I'm assuming the company went, it wasn't Chapter 11. She wasn't aware of that, and they shut everything down. I assume went to Chapter 7, that because she was only on the job for a month and a half, she has no claim for unemployment. Is that correct?
Where'd you find that out? Who told you that?
She did. I don't know what her source was.
Has she applied for unemployment insurance?
No. I'm assuming no, because she was told that she heard. Her research showed her, I don't know if one of her coworkers told her, I don't know if her ex-boss told her, I don't know if she got online and got the, you know, information like that. I have no idea, but I'm 99.99% sure that she has not applied yet.
Okay. That's an area that I'm not familiar with. I have someone in my office who does know that. If you want to leave your phone number with our producer, I will call you on Monday and give you an answer, either Monday or Tuesday.
Okay, I certainly appreciate that. And if they could...
Well, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, because... Well, I don't know.
I kind of think a little questionable to me, against the purpose of...
Well, how long do you have to work there to get to unemployment? Did they tell you that? Is it 10 weeks, 12 weeks?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Well, Rick, if you'll leave your number with our producer, Eddie will get back to you next week and get you some guidance on that.
Okay, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No worries. We appreciate your call. We'll be back for the second half of the Consumer Law Hour, coming up right after this break on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we're back for the Consumer Law Hour. 855-765-1045, the number to call. Our legal experts are waiting to help you. Sitting in with Eddie Farah and Chuck Farah from the law firm of Farah and Farah. If you've got legal questions, that number is 855-765-1045, and we're happy to help you out. I see Alan from Callahan on the line. Alan, you're on the Consumer Law Hour. How are you today?
Hey, doing great. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in, Alan.
So you've got a question about easements. What's going on?
Well, we purchased a problem one-acre property here in Nassau County in 2015. And through research and later that year, we found out that two of our neighbors' drain fields are on our property. And one of the drain fields in the back right-hand corner is actually in what they call a utility easement. What we found out, other than the developer filing with the court or the county for that easement, we checked with the St. John's River Water Management District, and they're saying that there can't be a drain field in the wetlands that are on our property. Well, we're stuck because we found out that we, St. John's River Water Management District, is saying they're going to be coming after us to make any corrections of the wetlands to bring them back to its natural state. Well, we contacted the adjacent property owner that the drain field belongs to, and he referred us to the builder-developer, and the builder-developer is telling us we're crazy that there's nothing he's going to do. So we thought about selling the property, but a realtor told us that with those issues that there may the value to property or may not be sellable at all. So
yeah, and you have to disclose it.
Here?
You're aware of that. You have, under the law, you have to disclose that to any potential buyer, or you can be sued for fraud.
So
and when you disclose it, nobody's going
to
buy
the other land over. Excuse me, sir?
I mean, that's something, if you plan to sell it, that's something you would have to disclose to the prospective purchaser. And because you could be sued for fraud on that. It's like if you know of a defect in the home, you don't disclose it. That opens you up to a lawsuit. But who's going to buy it, like you said, with those two drain fields? How long have you owned the house since 2015?
March of 2015.
And
we discovered these things on our own. They weren't brought to our attention during the purchase of the home.
Yeah, you may. Well, I wonder.
From the builder.
But you had a survey. I mean, didn't you have a survey?
There's a survey that showed the easement, but we didn't realize the drain field. Nobody told us that the drain field was put in the wetlands on our property. And he was using the easement to cover that up. Mm-hmm. St. John's Water River Management District is stating that that drain field that's in our property in the wetlands is illegal. And they're wanting us to come up with the cover the expense of having it removed and making it right. Which our concern is then we're going to be sued by the other property owner that that's their drain field that's on our property in the wetlands.
Yeah. You know, again, we're not real estate lawyers. You know, you may want to reach out to the Jacksonville Bar Association. We've mentioned them before. They will connect you with an attorney who specializes in that. And for $50, you can talk to them for a half hour. But I probably know someone that can help you if you want me to call you on Monday and give you a phone number. But you're
going
to have to get an attorney involved. I mean, this is going to cost some money. I mean, do you want to get involved in something like that? I mean, what if you just...
Oh, yeah. We got to do the right thing. St. John's River, we're looking from what we talked to. We had a environmental engineering group come out, and they're saying we're looking at it close to $100,000.
Wow.
To get the wetlands back to where it is.
Why would you not have a claim against the developer who put it there in the first place?
Well, that's a question. The developer slash builder is ignoring us is saying that he had an easement in place. But St. John's River Water Management District saying the easement doesn't supersede the wetland laws of the state of Florida.
Right, that's correct. That's correct. You probably have a claim against the developer for that $100,000 loss. Because you really can't sell the house. The house, really, I mean, you're living in it. But really, what value does it have? You can't sell it. It has no value.
You're right. The Florida Department of Health says the other two drain fields that are on our 1 acre is also illegal. You can only have one drain fill on our property. And two of our side-by-side neighbors, their drain fills encroach our property.
Yeah. No, that's an issue you got to deal with. Because really, your house has no value right now. If you sell it, you got to...
Is it possible you have an attorney that you may be able to recommend?
Yeah, I would. Leave your number with our producer. Let me call a couple of people, and I'll be in phone contact next week, and I'll find you somebody.
Thank you very much.
Sure. I appreciate it.
All right, Ella. We appreciate your call. Good luck with your situation.
Wow.
We've got Gilbert in St. Augustine who's got a question regarding some an injury claim. Gilbert, you are on the Consumer Law Hour.
Hey, Gilbert.
Hey, Eddie. Hey, thank you for taking my call. What happened was my cousin's wife, she, about 5 years ago, she was at Walmart down in Miami, and she slipped and fell on water. And she's got witnesses and everything. And they went ahead and got an attorney. And they ended up getting the attorney and the attorney back and forth and everything. Didn't want to get the case with her because they don't speak no English at all. So she tried many times to try to find a Hispanic attorney, and they couldn't find one. So they went ahead and got one that just speaks totally English and everything. And then I ended up learning about this case when I went down there to visit them. Now they're living up here in St. Augustine with me. But now the attorneys have demanded that she has to go down to do a deposition. So what happens, since she has a injury to her back, she couldn't drive or anything, so kind of cut there. So what happens now is she ended up going to Cuba to see a family member. She passed away in Cuba in December. So I went ahead and called the attorney's office and let her know that, you know, my cousin's wife died in Cuba, and they're saying, well, now that she died, nobody can claim her lawsuit against Walmart. And so I said, that's kind of awkward. So they asked me, is she single? I said, no, she's married, and we have, you know, legal rights on that part that she's married. So now they just send a letter in English, not in Spanish, stating that both parties are dropping the case because mm-hmm. the husband does not have the right to claim anything. That's my question mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, the injuries that she can recover for are the injuries or the pain and suffering that she received from the date of the accident until the day she died. So if it's been 5 years, they can technically make a claim for her injuries for that 5-year period. And her estate okay. would get that money, which is her husband would get that money.
So there's still a claim.
There's still a claim
for those damages.
Yeah, but it's not
up to the time to her death.
Yeah, but it's not like a typical slip and fall where you get to have pain and suffering for the rest of your life. Let's say she's
right.
Let's say she's 60 and her life expectancy was till 85. She could claim 25 years of pain and suffering. But now she can only claim 5 years of pain and suffering.
Right,
which greatly reduces the claim, plus
medical bills.
Plus medical bills and lost wages. She can get all that if she was working and lost wages. So, yeah, she can get all that done. So it's not the case. It's not the case has no value. It just doesn't have the value it would have if she were still living.
Plus, she wasn't able to give the deposition to, you know, establish the facts and all that.
Correct.
Yeah, so they should really, Walmart, the lawyer should reach out to Walmart and try to secure a settlement based on the facts they have now. But but Walmart may not want to pay anything because they're saying, if you go in front of a jury, what's going to happen is, the jury's going to see the husband there, and there's, the wife fell, the wife suffered for 5 years, but who's getting money? The husband.
Right.
You see, so people will look at that and say, hey, how much are we going to give this person? You know, I'm sorry she passed away, but why should the mm-hmm. husband profit from that? That's what I think is going through that's the thought process.
Okay.
But she's still entitled to make a recovery for that 5 years of medical bills and so forth.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank
sorry
you.
About that.
Good luck. No problem. Thank you. Yep. Bye.
All right. Good luck, Gilbert. Lines are open at 855-765-1045.
Yeah, these injury cases, you know, the value is a lot of times based on the futures, you know, future medical care that's needed, future pain and suffering. And that's the situation that he's in now, that the case is pretty much cut off because of her death.
Yeah, except for that period of time from the date of the accident until she died. I mean, her estate can still make a claim for that, but you have to open up an estate.
Yeah, there's money.
And a lot of lawyers, because that case now has diminished value, they probably aren't willing to pursue it till the end like they were before. But let me tell you, 5 years, I mean, that's a long time for a case to linger on.
Sure.
I mean, in our office, we don't have anything that long. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's because it's Miami and the judges down there they don't have the capacity to handle cases quickly. But let me tell you, the judges in Duval County and Nassau and this area, you get a court date pretty quickly around here.
You do. They make sure the rest of the state.
They make sure they give you your day in court, which is a nice thing. So you don't have to wait around that long. But that's 5 years is a long time for a simple slip and fall case like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And now, you know, nothing good comes from that because you see what happened. You know, she's.
And what if there are any mitigating circumstances relevant to that fall that compounded over those 5 years or may have contributed to her death while
that's
she was
correct.
Abroad.
Then
it becomes a wrongful death
claim. Right. We didn't get into that, but Scott brings up a good point. Scott, you're sort of think like a lawyer over here, buddy.
Oh, it's because I keep good company.
Yeah. If God forbid, I mean, if the death was caused by the fall, maybe it was a complication of the fall, then yes, then you have a wrongful death claim. And you got 2 years from the date of her death to pursue it.
Yeah. I mean, even if a medical procedure caused the death, and the medical procedure was based on the injuries from the fall.
Yeah. I mean, let's say the doctor, she goes, well, it was in Cuba, but let's say she had medical treatment in Miami, and the doctor, you know, part of the accident, she had to have like a knee surgery or something. If the doctor commits malpractice, the initial Walmart would still be responsible for the malpractice because they're the ones that started the whole process. That's an interesting law in Florida, which means that if, for instance, let's say you're involved in an automobile accident, and as a result of the accident, you have to get medical treatment, and there's a medical mistake made during your medical treatment related to the automobile accident, the automobile accident is responsible for the medical malpractice.
Yeah, that is.
Okay. You want to take Tom? We got to take a break first.
Tom, I see you on the line. We're going to come back and catch your call right after this break. We're coming up on our final segment of the Consumer Law Hour, 855-765-1045, the number to call. Lines are open. Tom will be with you in just a few moments on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we're back for the final segment of the Consumer Law Hour. Lines are open at 855-765-1045. A couple of minutes left. We'll try and get in as many callers as we can. And we'll start with Sharon in Jacksonville. Sharon, you've got an issue with getting some medications. What's going on?
Yes, I had a surgical procedure done back in December the 20th, 2017 at the USF, hospital at the airport in Jacksonville, Florida. And I was going to see the island doctors. They were my primary for the 2 years, from 16 to 17. And on the 14th, I went to my primary to visit, and I told her, I said, my foot's still smelling bad and ugly. She didn't look at it. She said, well, just keep putting the saline on there. I said, okay. So on that morning, on the 16th, Saturday morning, my daughter woke up. She said, Mama, your foot smells awful. It's rotted smelling. So we went to USF, and I got out to USF emergency room on the 16th of December, 2017. And the doctor said, ma'am, it's to the bone. We got to take the toe. He said the infection is all the way in the bone. We got to take it so it don't go through the body. So they did the surgery on December the 20th, 2017 at USF. And I had to go back to the atrium to be treated there for, another month in January of 2018. And I asked Island doctors for a copy of my medical record. They won't release them. I had my primary this time, Dr. Rosa, request. They won't give them to him. How do I go about getting a copy of my medical record?
Well, under federal law, they have to turn them over to you. They can't stop you from getting them. You just walk in there and tell them, sir, I want a copy of my record. It's federal law. And they can be
I did. The secretary told me no.
Sharon, I've never heard that. I mean, there's no...
Me either. No, sir, I've never heard it either. That's what I'm trying to figure out what to do.
They have to turn the records. I mean, maybe they want to charge you for them, but there's a limit where they can charge you. They're going to charge you so much for the records. It's not very much.
I don't mind paying.
Oh, I know that.
But probably they won't.
It's not a lot of money. I mean, they have to give them to you. I think you should show up with a letter, because you want something. Because if you go in there and just say, I want my records, they can say she never came in and never asked us for them. But I think you ought to.
Well, I'm totally blind, so I have to take witnesses with me when I go. So I'm totally
write
blind,
a letter saying, my name is Sharon, whatever, and I need I want all my medical records. And drop that letter off, and then have a witness with you that you dropped it off. Tell them you'll come back.
Okay.
And then tomorrow you want to pick them. You'll be back in 24 hours to pick them up. If they don't, they don't turn them over to you, you can call me, and I can tell you what you can do. But you could file a lawsuit against them for that.
Well, that's what I want to do I mean, I've been requesting them since October last year. Memorial gave it to me. USF gave me my copies, but they won't release.
No, there's no way they can withhold that.
We got to call your primary, and the primary requested it back in November. They won't give it to the primary.
Yeah. Whoever has the records, you just show up there with a letter and say, I want my medical
records. Okay, I would do that. I would do just what you're telling me. I would do that.
Thanks. Good luck. Right, let me know if you
can.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you wouldn't ask somebody else?
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. I got one more question.
Okay.
I had a wreck in December the 15th in a prize rental van, and on the 15th, someone hit us from the back on Lennox and Macduff. My son was driving, and we had insurance on the van, the $21.99 a day full coverage, plus the deposit I paid. The gentleman was in the wrong, so Farm Bureau is the one going to cover everything. I made a request to get my deposit back from my credit card off of the Enterprise. I said no. I said, but I insured it with maximum insurance you had for $21.99 a day. Well, we can't give you back your money because the vehicle was damaged and Farm Bureau is paying for it, and that insurance is going to cover it. Because your son was driving instead of the driver that was signed on, that we can't give you back the $200.
Oh, yes.
But so it's not on the contract.
Yeah, on the contract, you did not list him as a driver?
No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. And what happened? My sister got sick that day, and she couldn't drive. And that's when he was in the car for that minute. Yeah.
But you paid for the insurance and all that.
I paid for the insurance. I paid the $200 deposit and everything, full coverage. I paid for everything.
Yeah, leave your phone number. I may know someone that can help you with that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, leave your phone number with our group. Yes, ma'am.
All right, Sharon. All right. Have a good weekend.
Yes, good luck.
We got time for one more call. We're going to go to Bill in Arlington with some information on easements. Bill, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Yes, I had a $1,000 lesson on an easement. I needed an easement, and I went to a landowner who could give it to me, and he was a rich, influential man in St. Johns County. And he said, okay, I'll give you an easement for $1,000. So I agreed on it, and I paid him, and he says, I'm going to give you a non-perpetual easement. And I know now better than what I did then. And he said, if they won't accept this non-perpetual easement, I'll give you an easement. And needless to say, and this guy was very rich, they, of course, he knew they turned it down. They said, non-perpetual easements are useless. You can't use that to get access to property that I needed to get to. So they said, you need a perpetual easement. And nonetheless, I went to this guy who was influential, a guy in St. Johns County, and he absolutely refused to pay. And he said, just pretty well tough luck.
Yeah, but
and I lost $1,000.
Yeah, but that's what I was talking about earlier. And again, this is not an area that I know anything about, but I was just reading this one case. There's a thing called an implied easement, where based on the use of the property, that they have to give you the easement. You have a perpetual easement, whether you pay for it or not.
Well, the based thing on is, the facts of the case. I needed it. I didn't have to have it. It would allow me to separate an acre in the front without cutting it out of the rest of the property is what it was.
But it's based on the use of the property, how it was used before you purchased it. You may want to talk to a real estate. You may want to talk to a real estate attorney about it.
Well, I just want the people to hear that non-perpetual never take one.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate the call, Bill. Thanks for chiming in with us here on the Consumer Law Hour. Appreciate all the calls today. Be sure to tune in next week. The Consumer Law Hour returns Saturday at noon on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.